Well, today, whether you join us virtually online or directly in this room, together we rejoice, right? We rejoice in the public testimony of this young lady, Danielle, of her faith and her earnest intent to follow Christ for her life. This is a wonderful reason for all of you at our 8:30 service to join us again at 11 o'clock. Because we're going to be baptizing Andrew today. Don't you want to celebrate some more? So come back at 11, and we're going to be doing that at 11 o'clock with Andrew. Oh, I love it when young people have this earnest intent to commit their life to Christ and salvation, and then to declare that publicly with this ordinance of baptism. We rejoice. Amen? Amen. What a day it is to not only celebrate together like we've done through baptism, but what a privilege, what a joy it is to come together to share instruction this morning. Because that's the only way Danielle and Andrew are going to continue in their walk of becoming more and more like Jesus. It's by hearing the preaching, of getting themselves involved in the public study and the private devotion in the scriptures. And so this morning, as we turn to Titus chapter 2, we're going to listen from Titus speaking specifically to men. Now, ladies, before you leave, I know you've had some things you've been wanting to say to men for a long time, right? And this morning, you have the opportunity to amen all along the way. Right, ladies? Right, ladies? Oh, you're going to want to do a lot of that this morning because you're going to listen in as we receive some specific instruction for the men in the room. And we want our men at Shawnee Hills to be real men. So listen closely, men, and discover what it means to be a real man, a genuine follower of Jesus Christ. So, my father-in-law just passed away 3 weeks ago. And of course, that brings all kinds of memories. And for most of his, well, he was a farmer for 86 years of his life. He lived 86 years. He was a farmer for all of his 86 years. He was born on the farm. He died on the farm. And for most of those 86 years, he carried three things in his pocket. You want to guess what they were? Okay. Number one, he carried a knife. Can't men, real men, carry a knife, right? He carried something else in his pocket. This might surprise at least the women in the room, but not you guys. He also carried an adjustable wrench in his pocket. That went everywhere with him. And we wouldn't let him have it at the hospital when he got sick, but it went everywhere else with him. He carried one more thing that might surprise you. No, he wasn't a smoker, but he knew that a Bic lighter with a knife, with a wrench, with a Bic lighter, he could conquer the world. And you know, he took the statement by a famous theologian very seriously. The famous theologian, his name's Red Green, and he said, "Now, men, remember, if the women don't find you handsome, they ought to at least find you handy." And he took that serious, my father-in-law, Bill Trivett. He was a handy man, and he carried those things in his pocket. But is that what made him a real man? Well, the answer is no. He believed. He believed in Jesus. He put his trust in Jesus Christ. And he lived out his faith every day of his life since he knew Christ. He was a genuine follower of Jesus Christ. He was a real man because he not only believed it, but he lived it. He walked the talk. And so this morning, as we turn our attention to Titus, the book of Titus, and you can open to chapter 1, we're picking up where we left off. Pastor Adam started us last week by talking about leaders, and specifically, what is the difference between a, he used the phrase pure leader. What's the difference between a pure leader and what's the difference between a bad leader? And that was our focus last week from Titus chapter 1. And I want you to know that here at Shawnee Hills, we are committed to maintaining God's standards of leadership and cultivating godly leaders for the future. We're committed to that. And that's where we started by listening in on Titus chapter 1 last week. So now our attention turns to chapter 2 and the next group that we're going to discover that's receiving instruction is men. Now, together this morning, realizing that we are a mixed group, we have women, we have men, we all want to join together to help men, our men at Shawnee Hills, become real men of faith whose walk matches their talk. But before we go and talk to the men, I want to say this about all of us. Because Titus says it in chapter 2 and verse 11. Do you have your Bible open to Titus chapter 2 verse 11? He says this, and it's a good reminder that this is only possible because of grace. This is only possible because of grace. And here's what he says. It's in verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. All people, not just men, but all people. That grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify him for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. It's the grace of God that enables us to walk daily with him. And if someone does not have a relationship with God through faith in Christ, they cannot walk with him. And so I start there reminding us of that truth. And we've seen the testimony, the public testimony of one this morning who has put their faith in Jesus Christ. And so we start there. We start there before we turn our attention to chapter 2, verse 1. You have your Bibles open. And I'm just going to read verses 1 and 2, and then I'm going to skip ahead to verse 6. It says, but as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Now we're going to bypass verses 3, 4, and 5, and we're going to come back and hit those next week. And then it goes on to say this in verse 6. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Will you pause and can we pray and say right now, Father in heaven, we have your scripture in front of us, your word. And I pray this morning that you will bring conviction where needed, encouragement and comfort to those who need it, but remind us of the importance of not just believing, but to live what we believe, to walk what we talk. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. So this morning in verse 1, it says, but as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. First statement I want to make to you is that godly living must match godly teaching. Godly living must match godly teaching. Now, Titus was commanded to teach various groups to practice what was preached. And that's what the emphasis is. The very first word is what? What's the very first word? But. It's a contrast. It's a contrast what we saw last week in chapter 1 when it speaks about the false teachers on the island of Crete. They professed to know God, but they denied him by their works. This is a contrast. They had the head knowledge, but their lives didn't back up their belief. And therefore, Titus was commanded by Paul to teach. It's not a suggestion. He's telling him, you must teach. You must teach. And what must he teach? What accords with sound doctrine. Or the New Living Translation puts it this way. Promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Titus was to teach accurate, sound doctrine. That's behavior that agrees with the truth and testimony of Jesus. In other words, practice what is preached. The American church especially has an unhealthy tendency. And that unhealthy tendency is we have so many Bibles. I can't even begin to count the number of paper Bibles I own. We have numerous study helps at our fingertips. And if you get online, you have resources, just abundance of resources, all of these to help us know truth. We have so many religious freedoms. Why is the Church of Jesus, especially here in the U.S., not looking a whole lot more like Jesus? Why? Well, the answer is, we're taking in truth with our heads. That's the head knowledge. But our hearts are still far from him. We're not practicing what we're learning. There seems to be a pandemic of not living in accordance with sound doctrine. This is the U.S. society of the church right now. And it's a unhealthy situation we're in. And unfortunately, I believe it often makes its way right into the four walls of the church. It can even make its way right here to Shawnee Hills. And so I ask you, what are we doing about the truth we're hearing? Just to emphasize this, 3 weeks ago, we had a missions emphasis. And I asked myself, what impact did that have on me? As those missionaries shared about the needs abroad, am I now praying for those people? Am I praying for those missionaries? This is a convicting question I'm asking. Is the Bible teaching we're receiving on Sunday, is that being put to work on Monday? And unfortunately, I find myself falling short. I haven't prayed for those missionaries like I need to. This is what it means. This is what it means to live the truth that we're hearing. It should be seen in our lives, and we should recognize it in our schedules. Well, it's with that background and that introduction that Paul gives us instruction for this next group, and it's men. It's men. What we've said so far can be applied to all of us. But now, let's turn the focus to the men. And this is in verse number 2, where it says, older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-control, sound in faith, in love, in steadfastness. This is specific instruction for older men. And I like to put it this way, older men must be teachable. Older men must be teachable in these areas. Now, right away, you're asking, what does that mean by older man? And guys in the room, you're saying that right now. You're saying, I don't think this applies to me because I'm a young man. And others in the room say, nope, that's me. I'm an old man. So that's the question we have to ask. And the word here in the Greek is the same word that we sometimes use in reference to the office of elder. It's an elder. But in this case, it's talking about not an office of elder, but it's talking about an age distinction. It's an adult male advanced in years. And here's how it's used in Luke chapter 1 in reference to Zechariah. Zechariah, when he received the message from the angel that they were going to have a son, he said, "For I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years." Well, that's the same word, old man, that's used here in Titus chapter 2, an older man. And in that culture of Titus, it was likely that anyone that was 40 years old or older would have been considered an older man, an older man. It's probable that Titus was younger than many of the men in his church. He was probably one of the younger men. Now, if Titus was to instruct older men, they needed to be open to the teaching of a younger man, Titus, their pastor. So here's a question, guys. Ladies, you can plug your ears right now, or if you want to give a hearty amen, that would be appropriate. Here's the question, guys. Are we approachable when receiving instruction from others? Or do we make excuses? Do we make excuses that go like this? "Well, now it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks." Or maybe it's this excuse. "You know, we've done it this way in the church all these years. We ain't going to change now." Or how about this one? "It's either my way or the highway." You know what? I'm an older man. And sometimes I find those excuses in my attitude. Are we teachable when receiving instruction from others? This is Paul's instruction for Titus to teach older men. We need to be open to receiving biblical teaching and even correction when our attitudes or actions are contrary to biblical truth. This is important because spiritual maturity isn't automatic, okay? It doesn't just happen, guys. It doesn't just come with gray hair. Now, sure, there's some wisdom that comes with years, but spiritual growth doesn't come automatic. It must be applied. You see, older men have some tendencies, and that's what is being emphasized here in verse 2 when it says older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, in steadfastness. There's a tendency among older men, and the first one is older men need to be stable. We need stability in our lives. That's the first one, stability. It's the word sober-minded in your English translation. And it means practicing restraint in conduct. It's being stable. That word sober-minded, when you hear the word sober, you think of someone is sober and they're not drunk. If someone's drunk, intoxicated, they aren't quite stable. They're unstable. And it's what we need as older men. We need to be stable. We need to have our equilibrium. You know what I mean. You know what I mean. We need to be stable, guys. And this is a tendency for older men, and that's why it's mentioned in the text. It's also a tendency for older men to lose respect. We need to be, I'm going to use the word serious-mindedness, where the English word is dignified. Older men, we need to continue being dignified. Now, that's not about what you're wearing. That's about who you're being. Okay, older men need to be serious-minded. And then thirdly, the word is self-controlled, self-controlled. Older men need to be self-controlled. This is the idea of being thoughtful or considerate of the responsible action and not just doing based off of what's happening around me. You know, as I get older, I have more and more of a desire to have my own closet. See, for years, Phyllis and I had our own closets. And we moved out of that house, and we went to another place, and there we had two closets. I had my own closet. But then we moved again, and we had to share a closet. And that just really bugs me. Hers seems to keep migrating over to my side. It drives me nuts. And I'm here to tell you, men, older men, the older I get, the more my ability to adjust to change is suffering. It's a change that can really throw me, and I become unstable, and my words aren't very dignified, and I even can lose control of my emotions. Get your stuff on your side of the closet. It's a silly illustration, but you know what, men? I see it in my own life. I'm supposed to be growing to look more like Jesus, but there's an example where I'm not growing. I need to work on my attitude on even little things about sharing a closet with my wife. And I could give you 100 other examples from my own life. These are three ways that older men need to grow. We need this instruction. And then also there's another list here that Titus gives us. It says, older men are to be sound in faith, in love, in steadfastness. Those are three more areas. This concept of faith, an older man, that's the first one, in faith, an older man needs to know what he believes. He ought to already have that established. He put his trust in Jesus. He should have done that by now as an older man. And not only that, an older man should be living out his faith. An older man should have assurance of his faith. This should be true. He should be, I'm going to use the word solid. He should be sound or solid in his faith. And an older man should also be sound or solid in his love. In his love. See, guys, we shouldn't become an old grumpy man with age, okay? We shouldn't become that. We should be men who love God. Because we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he first loved me and that he gave his own life for me. We should display that love in the way we treat others. We shouldn't have that tendency that so many older men have that they say to their wife, well, now I told you I loved you when we got married, and if it changes, I'll let you know. That's the attitude that some older men develop. And it ought to not be the case with us. I appreciate that there's an older man in this congregation that told me, he said, you know what, I was in my tree stand and I was praying for you because you and Phyllis have gone through a great loss and I prayed for you while I was in my stand. You know what, that's how we ought to be, older men. We ought to be loving the people around us. We ought to be praying for one another. That's the second area that they ought to be solid in, is love. And then there's a third one, and I'm going to use the word perseverance. The text says steadfastness. Steadfastness. It's the same quality that enables a runner to complete a marathon. And men, I'm here to tell you that it's God who started the work in you. It wasn't your act. It was his act of extending grace and revealing himself to you. And that's when you came to Christ. He who began the good work in you is faithful to bring it to completion. Men, we ought to be looking a whole lot more like Jesus every day we live on planet Earth. That's steadfastness. That's perseverance. We ought to be becoming more and more like Jesus. Men, let's finish well. Let's finish well. Well, older men, we're going to turn our attention now to younger men. We're going to bypass verses 3, 4, and 5, and we're going to come back and get those next week. But let's go to verse 6 and wrap this up with just a word, one word, to younger men. The text says in verse 6, likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Now that word likewise is telling us that this is in addition to. So all of these other things that have been said in chapter 2, he's adding one more thing for the younger men to consider. See, younger men must take life seriously. They must take life seriously. They must live for eternity. And this is not just a suggestion for Titus. This is a command. He's urging Titus. The word is parakleo. It's an imperative word, imperative tense here. It's a strong appeal. And this is a command that Titus should exhort younger men. And by the way, once again, it's probably those 40 or less, generally speaking, that are being referred to here. And what is it he's saying likewise to add this in addition to? He's saying self-control, self-control. It's the same word we've seen in verse 2 in reference to older men, and we'll see next week in verse 5 in reference to young women. It's the practice of habitual self-restraint. It implies clear-headed self-restraint behavior in daily life. It's an avoidance of the inclination of the sinful nature. This word's repeated again and again throughout these lists in chapter 2 because it was so different than the way people were living on the island of Crete. Totally different. You see, our American culture especially has seen younger men get stuck in between adolescence and adulthood. And I'm here to tell younger men in the room, it's time to grow up. It's time to take life serious. It's time to live for eternity, not the moment in front of you. Put down the remote. Throw aside your joystick. Pick up a shovel and get to work. Turn off the TV. Pick up your Bible. Read it. Meditate on it. And then go out and do what it says. This is the message for young men. It takes self-control to do these things, young men. And I'm here to tell you, take life seriously and live for eternity. Well, there we go. Now I'm going to turn our attention back to where we all come together. And ladies, you can listen in because this applies to you too. We've talked to the older men. We've talked to the younger men. Now, let's finish off with a statement we all need to hear. We all need to be teachable. We all need to be teachable when instructed. We all need that. We all need to be models to other people. And we all need to be walking the talk, living what's being preached to us. But this all starts with what? This all starts with grace. This all must start with grace. We're not talking about just doing these things. We're talking about having a relationship with the God of the universe through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't deserve Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, but he did that because he knew we could not be good enough to save ourselves. He knew we would always fail. And I love what that says in verse 11. The grace of God has appeared. It offers salvation to all people. It's the grace of God that teaches us to say no to ungodliness, worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. We're growing that way while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own eager to do what is good. You know what? Godly living must match godly teaching. That's the emphasis for today. And I invite you to receive the Lord Jesus if you haven't. And I invite the men in the room to become real men whose walk matches their talk. Will you pray with me? And this morning, we have rejoiced, Father, that you have brought Danielle to us as a church. And we want to help her to grow to become a godly young woman. And Andrew is going to make his public testimony. Father, we rejoice in that, but we want and we feel the responsibility to help Andrew grow to become a godly young man. Thank you for your grace that makes this possible. Thank you for your goodness in giving us your word, and now may we go out and live it as we go throughout this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.